Hey everybody, welcome to the second episode of Real Estate I Love It. I'm sitting here with
Taylor
and I am
Shelly,
and we're mother-daughter in real estate together, kind of navigating things. I am 10 plus years in the industry.
I'm about 10 months.
It's a solid 10 months though, I would think, right? So Tay and I talk a lot about, you know, what it takes to be in this industry, and people will come up and, you know, they say, oh, I thought about getting in real estate. I think real estate would be a lot of fun. I just had a conversation actually with someone this week that was inquiring about the industry. So we thought we'd take some time today to really, I don't know, go deep into what we think it takes to be successful in the industry, the mindset, the personality traits, the work ethic, right, Tay?
Yeah.
So I'm going to throw some questions to Taylor and you'll get her thoughts on it. And then we'll see how it lines up with mine. So first off, Tay, if somebody said, what do you think your skills, your talents would be to get into the industry? What do you think would help you make it?
Well, I don't know about like skills and traits, but I think you need to have like good communication skills. Like I said, this is a skill. I think you need to be self-motivated. It's up to you how you do in the industry as far as like marketing yourself, putting yourself out there, cold calling, all that stuff. I think you need to have confidence too. I mean, it's not easy to cold call. It's not easy to randomly go up to somebody and be like, oh, this is what I do. Are you looking? Or do you know anybody who's looking?
Absolutely. Yeah. And right now in New York, we're actually not allowed to quote unquote cold call. But we do go up to people, you know, at networking events, at the grocery store, believe it or not. Like someone talks about real estate and my head might turn around and say, hey, what's going on? You have to be willing to talk to people. And you had said about communication, right?
Yeah.
And there's communication, there's the words that we say, there's the body language that we give off, you know, the rolling of the eyes, things like that. We don't do a lot of face-to-face anymore, but those things happen. But when you dive into communication, what kind of skills do you think would be an attribute to being in real estate?
Being like presenting yourself very positively. I mean, it's hard if you're like, you look like you're going to be negative or, you know, maybe like a little grumpy. Nobody really wants to walk around a house with somebody like that.
That is true.
Yeah.
So first impression, a lot of times, you know, somebody meets you that you have that 1 minute to make that or first time to make that first impression. The other thing is styles of communication. So, you know, it used to be everything was face to face. Now we actually at a buyer consultation will say, how do you want us to contact you? Do you prefer text messages? Do you prefer emails? Do you prefer face to face? And as knowing how you like to communicate, you know, you have to take into consideration that the person you're working with, they may not communicate the same way that you do. So I am old school. If I have emails and text messages, they are cleaned off by the end of the day. So I know that I have responded to everybody who has reached out to me. How's that work like with your generation? Would you say you guys clean them out? Would you?
No. I know when somebody texts me and I know to answer my text. But I will say I am guilty of having, I think right now, about 70 unopened text messages.
Not crazy.
But I just don't clear out the spam. Like if I see a spam text from whether it's like an app or some sort of like store, I know they texted me and I just don't. Like I see all the texts on my home screen. So when I go onto my phone, I answer my text. And if it's not a text I have to answer, it just sits there.
That's interesting. And I think there's like TikToks and things out there, like which realtor are you? The one that has everything like answered or the ones that have a lot of things hanging out there, like 2000 unread emails, et cetera, you know, and you're right. A lot of it is junk. So you have to be able to communicate and you have to be able to communicate where they are. And then you also have to set up boundaries of times of communications. Mm-hmm. So are you going to be an 8 to 6 realtor? Are you going to be a 24-hour realtor? Like people can get a hold of you at any point in time. So that's the second expectation that you set up when you're at that buyer consultation. And we'll get to the sellers, but it's really the buyers that demand more of your time, more communication typically than the sellers. So when I first got my license, I remember I was working with someone who worked nights. And if she was on her lunch break at 2 a.m., she was looking at houses and she was sending me text messages. And I always had my phone on. So at 2 a.m., my phone would go off. I would see that she texted me. And sometimes I would actually answer the text if I was awake enough to respond, because I know that that's when she was really looking for houses. That was about 10 years ago. Now, 2 a.m., you're not going to get me to look at my phone. I am zonked out, right? But I do try and have a little bit more boundaries, but depending on what's going on, at 8 o'clock at night, somebody might need me to answer that, you know?
Yeah. We were showing houses late at night because, like when it was dark out and everything, not like terribly late, but you have to do it when they're out of work and kind of go off with their schedule. So
as a listing agent, then if Taylor's showing a house at 7:30 at night and she has a question about that house, you know, is that listing agent going to take the call or the text at 7:30 at night? Or is she out to dinner having fun with her friends and she'll take care of it in the morning? So there's no right or wrong way in real estate. And I think that a lot of times you see things on social media even where people say realtors have to answer their phone. Absolutely. You know, Taylor needed the answer if she had a question about that house. Mm-hmm. My buyer needs to know the response. But at the same time, like, either, you know, we could be showing somebody else a house. We could be negotiating. We could be at my daughter's wedding. She's not married yet, I'm just saying. But we could be doing something where, you know, it's not possible for us to necessarily answer the phone. Or, you know, we kind of have those lives too. So that is one thing I will say that bothers me. And I will do this throughout the podcast, is I'm going to throw out things that you see on social media that give our industry a bad name. And a lot of times when those things get thrown out on social media, they're actually thrown out by other realtors who are frustrated because they didn't get the response in the timely manner that they wanted the response in. But I would say communication is key. You need to communicate, right, Tay?
Yep.
But you also need to respect the fact that the person on the other end might have something going on at the same time. So, but types of communication, styles of communications, and then time frame of communications. So when somebody says you need to have communication skills, you need to set up the expectations of the communication skills that you're going to have. So what was the second skill that you mentioned? Accountability, I think.
Motivation.
Oh, motivate, self-motivation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a tough one. I would say the last time I had to be self-motivated was in college. So we're going back like 30 some years.
As somebody who is in college, I agree.
Mm-hmm. How's that self-motivation going for you?
All my homework is turned in. Mm-hmm. I think I notice it a lot now because I'm in online classes. Like, you sit in a classroom and the teacher's like, oh, the homework's due on Monday. And you're like, oh, okay, it's due on Monday. But like for my other classes, like, you got to check everything to make sure you don't have something due. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So in life in general, you're going to know if you're self-motivated or if you're a procrastinator. I would say if you're procrastinating, it will make real estate a little bit harder for you because you will have people constantly asking you to do something and it's just going to build up and build up and build up. So, you know, like I said, I remember being self-motivated in college, not to the point that I am now in mm-hmm. real estate, but since then, like if I had a 9-to-5 job, you know, I could be just as happy sitting there from 9-to-5 doing the exact same thing. I could have a 9-to-5 job and be motivated because I want to get promotions. And but with real estate, if you really want to see that glass ceiling, if you really want to make the most money, you're relying on yourself. You know, again, we kind of talk about this, you know, when you're running your business, it's your business, mm-hmm. right, Tay?
Yeah.
The brokerage that you go to, I think, is important, but a broker can only take you so far. Taylor said, you know, you got to find your own leads. You know, how are you going to do that? So what are some ways that you've seen myself, other agents, or even yourself go after leads today?
I know there's different programs you can get into where they send you leads, but you're also competing with other agents when you do those. Mm-hmm. So like when you get one of those, you have to call relatively soon because there's another agent about 10 miles down the street calling them as well.
Yes.
There's a lot of you can like see if somebody's interested in looking at a house and just calling them being like, hey, like, I know you're looking and stuff like that. But yeah.
It's not as easy. When I teach the new salesperson course, like to the orientation, they have their license, they've joined the board, they're with their broker. they have to go through some other training just so they learn all the tools. And I'll ask them, you know, what is it about real estate that is a little bit harder than you thought it was going to be? And I would say the majority of the time, there's someone who says finding people to work with. So I actually was talking to one of Taylor's high school friend's moms today at the grocery store. And we were talking about the fact that Tay's 21 and a lot of the people that Taylor knows, they're not quite ready to buy houses yet. They're getting there, but,
2 years.
But, you know, I came from a background where my family wasn't here, but I made a lot of connections through the school. And people said, oh, you will get leads through the PTA, through the kids' sports activities. And what I found was people will refer you before they will use you. So, and that's what this mom and I were talking about. When her daughter's ready to buy a home, Tay will probably have 2, 3, 4 years of experience. But right now, Tay told you she's 10 months in. Mm-hmm. So when I was 10 months in, I wasn't young looking. I was, you know, 41 actually. And I remember the first time somebody like that I knew said, hey, I want you to list my house. And I said, oh, I was super excited, you know, and I ran the comps and I do the things in the paperwork to sell that home. But anytime there was a little bit of a, like a hiccup in the transaction, because there's hiccups in a lot of transactions. Yeah. then there was a hiccup. She would say to me, well, I should have taken somebody with more experience. Somebody else would have handled this better. And I took it in, right? And I listened, which we're going to talk about, you know, the listening skill that comes along with being in real estate. But I listened to her. And at the end of the day, once the emotion wore off and she realized it was a hiccup, no matter if it was me or if it was somebody 20 years in the industry, it was just something that was going to happen in the course of the transaction. But I recognize it now that she took a huge chance using somebody who was, you know, less than a year in the industry with one of the biggest financial assets that she has. So building that sphere of influence is important. And, you know, you talk to the people that you know, but you will find that they will refer you to someone else and then wait for you to prove yourself before they actually use you. And that's not 100%, but that is pretty common. I see that again and again, where someone will call and be disappointed that a friend of theirs listed with somebody else. And it's a tough pill to swallow, but I tell them, you know, would you have used you, you know, if you knew that personal, if they knew you only had a year in the industry or something, or would you go with the person who has that more experience? So there's ways around that. And we'll get deeper into other episodes about how, as a new agent, you know, you can actually show that you have just as much value as they do. You just have to do a little bit more research. It's a little bit more boots to the ground than maybe the person has the 20 years experience in their head. But building your own real estate business, no matter what brokerage you're at, definitely takes a lot of skill. So self-motivation, finding the leads, whether you're going to pay for them, whether you're going to go out and get them yourself, making sure that you're following up with people. You know, if you're not following up, like let's say that Taylor, you run into somebody at the dog park and they talk to you about, yeah, probably in a year or two, we're going to be ready to sell. Do you just wait a year or two and reach out to them?
No.
No. What do?
Every once in a while, just kind of like poke the bear.
She uses my terms. I call it a touch, but yes, in non-real estate situations, I'm like, let's poke, you know, poke that bear and see where they're at. And it sounds horrible, but people run into realtors all the time, mm-hmm. like throughout the course of the day. I mean, I run into them, you know, just going to Target. So if you have a relationship with somebody and you're getting into the industry, you're going to let them know you're in the industry. You need to remind them every once in a while. They're probably the fourth couple that I think I worked with. The first 2, 3 years, you know, I dropped off little like pumpkins for Halloween. I sent them Christmas cards and calendars. And then I started opening the boutique brokerage that I was at before the one I'm at now. And I kind of, it kind of stopped. I was working on policies and procedures and, you know, getting the business started. And I lost that personal touch with a lot of my earlier clients. It was disheartening when I saw them list with somebody else. And I remember thinking they had contacted me probably maybe 2 years before and asked my opinion on a kitchen. And I gave them a return on investment and we were talking. But I bet you in the 2 year span from the time they asked me about the kitchen to the time they listed, they formed a relationship with somebody else. So I wasn't upset with them. sometimes people take it personal and then they get upset with the person. I wasn't upset with them or the agent who listed, who did a great job. I was more upset with me because I didn't continue the follow-up and the relationship. And that was something that you hadn't mentioned, but really the communication, the motivation in real estate, if you ask me, the most important part of it is building relationships and then keeping the relationships going. So when you meet somebody and you form a conversation, it's not just sending out emails, right? Mm-hmm. Like Taylor has someone right now that she's sending them auto emails to. That's not communicating with them. That's just something they could do online if they wanted to. The communication comes if Taylor then sends a text or email or a phone call, right? And what would you say to them? I put her on the spot.
She always does this.
I do. This is a learning podcast. She's the student. I'm the master.
Call them, see like where they're at. And, but like, you don't want to like call them and be like, oh, you're ready to list your house
or buy a house.
Yeah. Whatever it is. You have to like, you know, like talk to them, make sure like you're still in their head, whether it's as a realtor or as a person, because I mean, she said earlier, and I say all the time, real estate is building connections. So keeping the connection, whether it's in real estate or not in real estate, you need to have the connection. And then, you know, slightly hint that,
like, hey, I'm still here. Hey,
right. I'm just, yep. I listed this house the other day. You know, I'm a realtor. You know, put the idea back in their head.
And it's funny. So it's hard. Like, so naturally, Taylor and I are both talkers, if you can't tell. And we can talk about pretty much anything. But you don't always have to be talking real estate. Like Taylor could call them and just seriously inquire about how they're what their kids are up to. You know, you can have a conversation.
I had called one guy one time because it came up that he might be looking to sell, and he wasn't, but we sat there and I think I talked to him on the phone for like 30 minutes ish. And we talked about like a house in Florida and him retiring. And obviously I'm nowhere near retiring, but we had a whole conversation about my plan to retire in Florida in about 50 years.
Yeah. So, you know, she's my daughter, so I'm biased, but when I look at Taylor, I think this is somebody who's going to be successful in real estate because she's building relationships. And that gentleman flat out told her from the beginning, I'm not selling my home. Mm-hmm. You didn't hang up, right?
No. I sat there and I was like, well, we don't have to talk numbers if you don't want to, you know? Mm-hmm. And I kind of like, I didn't like push him into talking yet, but I was like, oh, like you were looking at houses. Like, what were you looking for? Like, you know, like making conversation about it. Cause obviously like I knew he was for some reason he was looking at houses. And he was like, oh, I thought about moving, but I'm not sure I want to. And I wanted to see what was out there because he was looking to like relocate somewhere around here. So, but just about that. And then it got into, he didn't even know if he wanted to move around here and he might want to go down to Florida. So then we started talking about that. But like I said, it was like a 30-minute conversation. I knew he didn't want to list his house, at least not for a while if he was thinking about it. But
yeah. Well, so let's go back. If you watched our first podcast where Taylor had said, she'll be sitting in the car with me listening to the radio and the phone rings and she knows it's not going to be just a 3-second to 3-minute conversation. That was what Tay just did. So she was in her own car listening to music and somebody called her. You naturally talk, you get to know people, you make those connections. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to have that personality to get into real estate. That is what her and I have. Sometimes you could have the analytical personality. So everything is about facts and data, and you're going to connect with the people that are facts and data, right? Facts and data. Taylor, I mean, she's going for accounting, so she could probably hold her own in those types of conversations.
I can talk numbers.
She can talk numbers. So far we talked about the fact, the importance of communication, the sales and whatnot. We talked about being so self-motivated. Oh my gosh, I can't spit that out. And then we just also talked about building relationships. The one thing, when I was talking to the person this past week, you know, when you ask somebody why they want to get in real estate, and you had said this in our first podcast, why?
Pretty houses.
Yeah. They don't think about what it takes to build the business. Doesn't mean that they can't do it. You know, when I first walked into my real estate class, I had no idea what I was getting into. I knew that I looked at houses. I knew I liked looking at houses. I understood the process just from a buyer standpoint and a seller standpoint, but not from a real estate agent standpoint. And I think it is important to have all those pieces. You know, Tay, when people tell you, ask you what your experience is, you know, your answer is what?
I've moved 13 times. Mm-hmm. I've lived through it. I listen to it all the time. And yes, I've had a few closings, but even with that, I mean, I learned a lot from those closings. I think I've learned 10 times more too, just sitting in the car with my mom, mm-hmm. or when like she listed our house, I mean, more than 10 years ago at this point, I think I was in like fifth grade. So long time ago, but like listening to her, like do that. And, you know, just like taking it all in. I mean, I took the class was helpful. Even in the class, you listen to other agents or brokers and their experiences, their stories, what they've learned, what they like, what they dislike, and you get experience as you go. But even just sitting there talking and listening to other agents or past agents or brokers, mm-hmm. even people who just sold their own house or are looking to sell their house, the things that they've learned and researched.
So one thing, as if you're getting into the industry or new to the industry, surround yourself with people who are part of the industry. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different organizations out there. So as a realtor, Taylor and I, we can go to women's counselors or realtors. So, and it's not just women, there's men, lenders, different people that are in there. Our brokerage, and I'm sure most brokerages do this, at the beginning of the meeting, we share what have you learned. So Taylor will sit in the meeting and we'll have one of our agents who's been in the industry for more than 15, 17 years, just kind of go through her week and what happened. And we all learn something from that. And when she's done talking, it's not like, okay, next. It's we reflect on what it was that she went through. So you're building the relationships out in the community. You're building the relationships with your clients, but you're also building relationships with other people in our industry. And there's going to be another episode where we kind of take a deep dive into what that's going to look like. The last piece that I want to say for us, as far as a skill you need to have from my standpoint, is the ability to negotiate. Yeah. Unfortunately, the first time I learned about negotiation, other than when I was a kid trying to get stuff from my parents, right, which is where Taylor still is.
I love free money.
was my divorce. You know, unfortunately, even though, you know, there was attorneys involved, we still had to learn the negotiation and what it takes to come to an understanding. And I did, I had a therapist tell me one time that there are people that think if you won in a negotiation, it's a win-win. And there's other people when you're negotiating, if it's a win-win, they think they lost. So they always have to have that upper hand. And one of the skills that I think maybe gets developed over time, whether it's in this industry or something else, is when to know when you're dealing with that person. So we'll also have an episode down the line on types of negotiation. Just a quick tidbit on it. I always say there's three types, Rambo, Dumbo, and Columbo. So if you're old enough to know Columbo and Rambo, I'm pretty sure you know what Dumbo is, though. And those are negotiation styles, believe it or not, that I learned in Utah when I went to a conference. So real estate is amazing. I do love it. Taylor's taking a dive into it.
Learning to love it.
No, maybe I do have real estate learning to love it as our
it
podcast.
Gives the education side.
The fun side.
Yeah. No, I mean, I do like real estate. I mean, I would have... I have some attachment issues. I'm not there yet. All right. Commitment issues. That's what I'm looking for. I don't love it yet. Okay. Yes. I need to swim a little
bit. I thought the attachment was to me, guys. I'm not going to lie. I thought she was attaching herself to me.
She can't get rid of me. I mean, I'm 21. I'll be here
forever.
Yeah. I mean, we're redoing my room. I could live there for a few more years.
Yes. But to the commitment piece of it, but you do like we do. We do love it. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't figured out this podcast, a little bit about, you know, the trials and tribulations of us. I certainly hope anybody listening doesn't expect Taylor to have all the answers. I wouldn't think that would be fair.
I have very little answers. I should have done it this way so I was at the mic.
Yeah. But I hope there's grace, you know, as we're going through this and learning this together. But it is a passion of mine to teach people about the industry that has been so amazing for me. Like I completely have built a life that I love around it. It is a glass ceiling, meaning if you're self-motivated, you get out of real estate what you put into it. And mm-hmm. you're going to hear us say that again and again.
I said that I was talking to somebody about real estate earlier this week too. And I was like thinking about joining, like, you know, taking the class and everything. And I was like, you will get what you put into, because they were deciding, you know, whether they do it full-time, part-time, like anyone else. You never know really what you want to do until you actually do it. And I was like, no matter what you end up doing, what you put into the industry, you will get back. Because if you're pushing yourself, you're pushing yourself out there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And again, you know, whether you're doing it because you have to survive like I was, or you're doing it to build a career, and to see where the industry can take you. We hope that you get something from this. Again, this episode, a little bit more getting to know us. So as you go through the episodes with us, you can appreciate where both Taylor and myself are coming from.
That gets cut out, right?
No, I'm telling Rosalie to leave it in.